Alrighty. Well, good morning, Church Whānau. So at the beginning of this year, I did a talk on the theme of time and the biblical reminder that life is but a vapor and that time moves quickly. It is hard to believe that another year is drawing to a close and that it is again our AGM. And as the votes get counted regarding the budget, as an eldership, it is important to us to spend some time this morning reflecting with you all on the year that has been, but also sharing with you what the four of us feel God is calling us to focus in on in 2024. So 52 weeks ago, the four of us shared with you four areas that God was calling us to focus on this year. Does anyone remember any of them? Perfect. Tori remembers the most recent one. Good on you, Tori. So building on the picture of the boat, the first thing we sensed was that 2023 would be a year where we would see more and more of us using and growing in our gifts and talents for kingdom building purposes. And at the start of the year, we kicked this off with a teaching series. And some of you may remember that we had the boat out in the foyer and we had ministry leaders sharing every Sunday about what their hopes and their dreams were for their respective ministries. And it has been so cool to see so many of you respond and take up positions in this metaphorical boat and make us stronger by contributing what you have. We have new people on the welcome team, new people on the prayer team, new youth and children's ministry leaders. We have people helping with the ever-growing menu in the cafe after church. We have men's and women's ministry reigniting. We have people stepping into connect group leadership. And let us not, of course, forget the all-important morning tea teams. Or the interest in next year's missions trip. And this is just the ministries that have been, not to mention the ministries that were already established and already running well. Our church is so blessed by each of you who contribute in some way and who choose to give your time in church and build God's kingdom. And for that, the four of us collectively say thank you this morning. We also felt that this year would be a year where we would continue to catch the winds of the Holy Spirit, and we have continued to pursue this during our Sunday services through ministry time. Our recent conference also presented an opportunity for the Spirit to move in the areas of trauma and past hurts specifically, and seeing these healed and broken through. And again, we know that some of you have been moved by this. And moving our boat out into the world and gathering momentum, we sent a missions team to Thailand. We've just finished a teaching series on the importance of magnifying Christ to our neighbours, and we explored the power of prayer as a strategy to see the salvation of our loved ones. And the testimonies that we've heard from the Thailand trip and of people seeing their loved ones making steps towards Christ as they've started intentionally praying more have also been very, very cool. So it has been a year. And when we reflect on all of that, we know that God is so worthy of our praise. It can be so easy to believe that the growth and the momentum that we have seen continue to build this year is man-made, and that certain people and certain ministries are responsible for it. But that is not the case. God is at work in each of us. It is Him who works in each of us and through us, and it is Him that moves and builds, and it is Him who at the AGM this morning and every morning is worthy of our praise and celebration. And we give Him the glory this morning for an awesome 2023. But while celebrating today, we are also saying farewell. After 2 years of faithful service, today we are saying bon voyage and waving off the boat image that has helped us remember our focus areas for the last 2 years and being the visual aid for the visions of 2022 and 2023. And we are farewelling it because this morning, as an eldership, we are introducing a new symbol and a new picture that we believe God has given us. This symbol is taken straight from the Bible. And it is one that is incredibly weighty in its biblical significance, but also fits with the three new focus areas that Robert, Leanna, and Caleb will share with you this morning. So are you ready to know what it is? The visual symbol for the vision for 2024 is, Leslie, if you want to put the slide up, a table. So I'm just going to share a little bit of context around this symbol and then invite each of the other three up to share about the new focus area. So throughout the Old and the New Testament, tables are mentioned a number of times. And the tables themselves and the interactions around them are deeply symbolic. Tables are firstly symbolic and a beautiful illustration of God's provision. And one of the first mentions of a table in the Bible is in the last chapters of Exodus, when God instructs the Israelites to build the table for bread for the tabernacle, a table of gold that had to have 12 loaves of bread on it all the time. And this represented God's continual provision to the 12 tribes of Israel in the wilderness. And there's that famous Psalm 23 of David, which talks about how the Lord is our shepherd. And it describes how the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, again referencing God as our provider and source of life, even when things are hard and when we are going through personal wildernesses. And as well as tables being used to symbolize God's provision both tangibly and in poetry, the biblical narrative describes for us settings whereby tables are used to symbolize God's invitation. In 2 Samuel 9, we read about a man called Mephibosheth. He was crippled in his feet, and he was a descendant of King Saul, who hated King David. But King David shows kindness and mercy and invites this broken and disabled man to eat at the king's table always, even though Mephibosheth had done nothing to deserve it. And the Bible literally says that Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And this is a narrative that describes a broken and disabled man being mercifully and undeservedly having his life changed through the invitation to a king's table. But it's a narrative that hints at and sets the scene for another situation thousands of years later where the son of another king will also invite a broken people to a Passover table, describe himself as the ultimate provision, and do what is needed to ensure an invitation to an eternal table in God's kingdom. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus sits at a table with his disciples, describes himself as the bread and the wine, and invites us, a broken people, into a new covenant with him. And so it is based on these table scriptures and the themes of God's provision and invitation that our three focus areas for 2024 are established. And I will now pass on to Caleb to build on that image and introduce the first focus area for the year.
Thank you, Anna. And if you saw, I just got the results. I'm going to keep you hanging in suspense until the end. But I do have some chocolates that I'm going to put on the table this morning. And that might create some suspense too. But the area that I want to introduce of the vision for 2024 is a year where we each intentionally go after more. There is so much more for us to receive and experience at God's table. And we want 2024 to be a year where we're intentional about positioning ourselves to grow and develop in the areas of our lives that God is calling us to grow in. So there's always more of God's goodness, and we are invited to come to the table. And so I want to invite you, if you're particularly eager for some chocolate this morning. There's only 12 here, which is, unless one's gone missing. Anytime during my talk, come and grab one. It's up to you. So there are times when, but they will run out. There are times when convincing children to eat, to partake of their food, is a creative art, or at least it requires special skills and abilities, like how to fly a fork and land it in an open runway. But there are other times when our kids have completely surprised us, where they have said more, where they, and it's not that it's, you know, pizza or chips or something, it's when it's vegetable soup and they just want more of it and more of it, or when it's a whole, we've got a whole pot of broccoli or cauliflower and it's just devoured and I have to sacrifice my portion of it. but, you know, you feel good because you know that your kids are eating one healthy meal, I mean, today. I think God, our Father, loves it when we are hungry and when we look to Him for what satisfies. And Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Tori's already shared that with us this morning. And in Luke 11, Jesus said, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So are we asking? Are we eagerly desiring? Are we craving pure spiritual milk that we may grow up in our salvation, as 1 Peter 2 says? Are we being built up in Him and established in our faith? Are we training ourselves for spiritual fitness, which promises a reward both in this life and the life to come? So we love seeing our kids grow and develop. Nadia, she's almost writing novels, and she gets very excited with every new monkey bar that, you know, she masters. Ezra, he's an inventive cook. He will take things out of the fridge, combine it with things outside, and and incredible creativity. Phoebe, she's learning to speak a new dialect of English and has recently promoted herself from the high chair to sitting at the dining table. So to grow and develop, it requires intentionality. You know, sometimes you've got to get out of your seat. If you want to learn an instrument or a language, it will take practice. We learn by doing. We learn from other people, you know, that can coach, that can mentor us. And we learn from books, from studying, from doing courses that all help us grow. So in 2024, what area of your faith or your walk with Jesus would you like to grow in? Or more importantly, is God asking you to develop? And when you look back in 12 months' time, will there be specific things that you can say, yeah, I've grown in that area. God has changed me in some way. It could be character, it could be gifts, could be your relationships. For Kat and I, two big areas that throughout this year and into next year that we want to grow in and be intentional about growing in is parenting and our marriage. And sure, we can learn by our mistakes, but I'm eager to learn from others. Go for it. From doing courses, and I guess most importantly, from keeping God in the center of those things. Because the investment that we make is worth it. Something that stood out to me, I think it was Seb that said it in one of his talks this year, is that it's not about doing more, you know, the Martha approach, but desiring more. Desiring more, like Mary, who positioned herself at the feet of Jesus. So not about striving, but receiving. To become more like someone, we spend time with them. And to grow more like Jesus this year means positioning ourselves like Mary did at Jesus' feet. He invites us to the table, as we've seen people coming forward, and there is still more there. He invites us to the table where there's always more to discover, to learn, to receive. He has so much more for us. He's the one who satisfies. And I don't ever want to get to that point in my walk with Him where I feel, you know, satisfied, like I've somehow made it. I don't want to stop growing. So in 2024, may it be a year where we are just even more intentional than ever to come before our King, to receive all that He has for us, to be changed by Him, to be more like Him. You know, this morning I had the coffee plunger on the bench and one of the kids accidentally knocked it off, and so we had coffee grinds and coffee and glass all over the kitchen floor. And I was down on my knees picking up every little bit of glass and wiping it all up. And it just made me think, isn't that what Jesus did when he came? You know, he was to clean up and to, going through, I guess, the mess. And he came to change us. And as we look to him this year and look to what he wants to change in us, to grow in us, it's going to be an exciting year. Robert, go for it.
Morning, church. So the second focus area for us this year is a year where we see more people coming to God's table. 2024 will be a year where, as a church, we pursue and pray for regular salvations and baptisms as people come to God's table for the first time and enter relationship with him. While Caleb has introduced the first focus area for 2024, which focuses on how we as existing believers can continually go after more at God's table and receive from him, from the seat that has been set aside for us, but we also acknowledge that there are so many people outside these walls who are yet to learn that a seat at the table has been prepared for them. One of the great stories in the book of Matthew that we've been working our way through is when Levi Matthew becomes a follower of Jesus himself, and the first thing that he does is he invites everyone he knows back to his house to sit around the table, eat and drink together, and he gets them to meet Jesus. And that opportunity exists for us. Another verse from Matthew 26 says this: "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Which is why we've chosen for the concept of reaching out for those who are not yet part of the family, not yet gathered around the table, is the cup and the bread. Jesus poured these out for everyone, not just us. Not just us. Now, there are people who do not yet know Jesus, that Jesus' blood was poured out for the forgiveness of their sins. And to return to the story of Mephibosheth that Anna was talking about, there are people who don't know that despite their brokenness, they are invited to the king's table, forever to feast on his provision and be adopted. Now, there is nothing like coming around the family table and breaking bread together to make us feel like we are home, that we are accepted, and that we belong. And as I was preparing this, I was reminded how valuable and important coming home means. My brother Mike and his wife Christine have been staying with us, and they're here today. Make sure you introduce yourselves to them. And they're staying with us while they wait for their house to get ready as they shift back to Canterbury after being away for 40 years. And they were sharing with me just how emotional it was for them as they drove back into Canterbury, that sense of coming home and gathering around the family table again. Jesus told a story about a son who came back home after being away for a time. And when he came home, the father welcomed him with open arms and set the table for a family party to show the son he was home, that he was accepted, and that he belonged. Now, each of us know people who don't realize what they're missing. They don't realize the separation and loss that is part of their life, and possibly won't realize how much they have been missing until they come home and gather around the table with us. Bringing people to the table is our main mission. God, our host, has prepared the feast, and we have a role in bringing people to it. In Revelation, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty, come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life, come." We want 2024 to be a year where we see more salvations, more baptisms, as people discover the seat at the table that has been set aside for them.
Thanks, Robert. Please excuse my crusty voice. Our third focused area is in 2024, we want to have a year where we explore together what it means to be set apart as God's holy people and how this calling impacts our daily lives. When we sit down at the table for a meal, we don't usually begin to eat if our hands are dirty. We know that this could introduce germs and make us sick. Good practice would be to wash or sanitize our hands first and make sure they are clean. As we think about coming to the table for the Lord's Supper, let's see what Paul wrote to the Corinthians about it. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifice participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols..." "What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" And then further on he says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." In other words, don't bring dirty germs to the table. If we look back to when the Israelites were in the wilderness and had constructed the tabernacle, which included the table of bread, they were given the law or instructions for holy living that flow throughout Leviticus and Numbers. These instructions were to ensure the Israelites were living lives that set them apart from their foreign neighbors and were reflective of their willingness to be obedient to the covenant that they had established with the Lord. God tells the people in Leviticus chapter 11 to be holy or set apart, because I am holy. While we as believers are under a new covenant, which Jesus mentions at the Lord's Supper, we are still called to live lives that set us apart and are reflective of our obedience to Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." In 2024, we'd like to see people being set free from the worldly things that bind them, to be unafraid to make a stand for righteousness, or to sit down for a short prayer time and then suddenly realize that 2 hours have flown by because you've enjoyed being in the presence of a holy God. The choice is there for us to live a life set apart and holy, because he who has saved us is holy. I'll leave you with a prophetic word that Robert had in last week's pre-service prayer meeting. Can you not sense there's a fresh move of my spirit coming to this nation? It's a move that will foster a passion for holiness and righteousness. Choose if you want to step into this.
Thanks, Leanna. So, this time in 52 weeks, how will we know that we have grown in these focus areas that we feel God is calling us as a body to press into? How will we be different? Well, we'll have heard and seen incredible testimonies from people in this church family about how they've gone after more, sought God, and grown in whatever areas of their lives he is calling them to go deeper in. May the revelation of God's infinite depth and goodness stir in us more in 2024. Our heart is that this time in 52 weeks, there will be more new people with us. Not because numbers are important, but because souls are. And we desperately want to see this church helping discover God and his invitation to the table with fresh determination. You'll see more altar calls on Sundays and more baptisms as well. Kingdom growth will be unfolding here at SABC. And finally, we'll finish 2024 with fresh understanding as a body of believers as to the calling we have to live lives that are different. Lives that are set apart and different to the lives of those who are not yet at this table. Lives that reflect the holiness and the righteousness of our host. As an eldership, we first began seeking God for guidance as to these focus areas back in July when we went to Hamna on Elders Retreat. And as we yarned and shared with each other what we felt God was saying, these focus areas rose out of the post-its. We have sat with them for months, and we've tinkered with the wording, and now we have collective peace that what we have shared this morning is what we feel God is calling us into. So to finish, we want to thank each of you for being part of this church family, and for all that you are, and for all you do for God and his kingdom. Each of you contributes and makes this body stronger by being part of it. And it is a privilege for us to serve you in this way. So let's have another awesome kingdom building year.
All right, I know you've been hanging on the edge of your seats for this. The budget has been approved, so thank you very much for coming along and voting today. And that means we can continue into the year. If the band would like to come, I think. Awesome.
For the elders. For all the